This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith, live from Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And now, here's Joe Smith.
So we move through this month of November, stakes high in a number of venues on the sports feed, exploring two of those tonight on Sports Talk. NCAA Cross Country Saturday over in Terre Haute for redshirt sophomore Catherine Receiver out of Louisville, Kentucky, who has certainly fashioned out an outstanding and memorable fall to date for Coach Ron Helmer's Hoosier women. A story to unfold, showing the grit and toughness certainly on the part of this young lady to become a first-team All-Big Ten selection and an outstanding third-place finish in last weekend's NCAA Great Lakes Regional, qualifying her for the big show and the big stage over at the Laverne Gibson course in Terre Haute on Saturday. A little bit later, two of Coach Mo Moriarty's veteran coaches at Bloomington South, defensive line coach Drew Fry, inside linebackers coach Pat Cannon, as those two coaches and the staff and the players of Southside prepare for the biggest game of the year this coming weekend, as the Semi-State Championship will be played as the third-ranked Panthers battle number 4 Columbus East. Two Hall of Fame head coaches, Coach Mo and, of course, Bob Gattis of Columbus East on the sidelines at Huff Memorial. Panthers seniors Tommy Richardson, the All-State linebacker, along with tight end Drake Smith, also joining in the conversation as well as the Panthers look for a spot in the November 26 5A title game at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis a week from Saturday. Along with our producer, Will Boatman, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, on-site producers, Joanna and Mike Glascott, and all of our sponsors. Hi again, everyone. Joe Smith, and welcome to Sports Talk on a Tuesday night here at Yogi's Grill and Sports Bar. And pleased to be joined by a young lady who is, as I mentioned, out of Louisville, Kentucky, went to Assumption High School down there, a redshirt sophomore that has made a lot of waves, not only for Indiana U and cross country, but certainly throughout the Big Ten, Catherine Receiver. And Catherine, thanks for taking time out of your training schedule to join us. And, just talk about how there is excitement in the air about the big show. Tell us about the excitement for you as you sit a couple of days before the big run on Saturday starting at 11.
Well, I'm really excited, as you said. I really didn't expect any of this at the beginning of the season, but as it's gotten towards the end of the season, I've really exceeded all my goals, and started to become real. So,
well, you know, you were on a team of Ron Helmer's, and you guys very respectable. You know, a lot of young talent, but you performed well. I think 71-29, very respectable when it was all said and done. Talk about the expectations with a young squad. Let's go all the way back to the start of the season, Catherine, and you said maybe you even surprised yourself. What were your thoughts and anticipation, your expectations of yourself going back to the start of the season?
Well, I just wanted to give myself the best chance I could, so I trained really hard, and I knew that our group had a ton of talent. I think that our team can go to nationals, but we just are so young that we'll get there. You just have to put in the work and trust the training, and eventually it will come.
You know, and we talk about the women's side. Very commendable was the fact that that you guys finished eighth in the Big Ten and ninth at that real tough NCAA Great Lakes Regional. I think that's a harbinger of things to come. Talk about the influence of how Ron Helmer got around to getting you from Louisville coming up. It's not too far from your hometown, about 100 miles or so. But talk about the recruitment process and take us back a couple of years on how that all started.
Well, my dad has always been a huge IU fan, and he tried to get me to look at IU out of high school, and I always joked, oh no, I'm not going to IU, I have no interest in IU. And eventually I had heard great things about it, and so I contacted Coach Poor and just decided to give it a shot and come here.
Well, now, wait a minute. Let me see if I got this right now. Your dad is a huge IU fan, but you didn't want any part. Now, why? I mean, did you have someplace else? Was somebody else knocking at your door at that time, coming out of high school?
No, not really. Not that many coaches contacted me. I thought I wanted to go somewhere south, somewhere warm, but I was wrong because I ended up loving it here. But I think I really just didn't want to look here because my dad was pushing me to look here. So.
Well, he was probably a happy pop when you decided when Ron, knocked at the receiver door and offered you a scholarship. I bet he was elated, huh?
Yeah, I think I'm the first kid to come to IU and my family, so I think he was pretty happy I'm here.
Talk a little about the early days. Obviously, you're still very young, a redshirt sophomore, running with a top program in the country, in the Big Ten, in the country with Ron Helmer. But take us back to the early days. When did you get interested in the sport, Catherine?
In middle school, I did every sport. I played soccer and field hockey, and I was a big lacrosse player. And when I got into high school, I decided to do cross country. I got talked into that, and I ended up quitting lacrosse. I swore that I would never quit lacrosse. I swore that I would not try track. I was like, I'll do cross country, but I'm not doing track. I'm sticking with lacrosse. And my high school coach actually convinced me to continue running. He said, you could be good if you ran all year round. And so he convinced me. And sure enough, my freshman year, I was on the track. So.
Well, how good was Assumption in cross country? Were you guys pretty good down there?
We were actually very good. We made it to NXN for 3 years. Mm. We won state 4 years in a row. And two of my teammates will be joining me, actually, at NCAAs this weekend. So that will be really exciting.
That's great. That's great. Well, it's a big field. The women's race, by the way, goes off at 11, followed by the men. And it was a tough break for the fellows, although a couple of outstanding guys like Catherine Receiver, first team all Big Teners, Jason Christ, and also Matt Schwartzer will be joining Catherine, representing the Cream and Crimson of Indiana U. You know, Ron, when he came here, Catherine, and he's done this both in cross country and in track and field, he throws out a red shirt. It helps develop the student athlete, but each student athlete performer has his or her own story. How did that red shirt help you when he told you he was going to redshirt you? How'd that kind of help you in your development where you are right now and where you're headed?
Actually, Coach Helmer didn't tell me I was going to redshirt. I think it was just a known thing because I was not in shape at all. My first semester here, I could not finish a workout. I couldn't keep up on a regular run. Every day felt like a workout, and I really struggled, and I think a lot of people are surprised I am even still here.
Well, you are. You're a first-team All-Big Tenner. Okay, what changed it? First of all, let's talk a little about the difference. Okay, you just told me about Assumption and your great teams down in Louisville. What was the shocker for you? Was it the training at the start when you came up here and said, whoa, what have I gotten myself into? Talk to me a little about that.
Well, I saw a lot of success in my early years of high school, and then as I approached my junior year, I had a great cross-country season, and then spring of my junior year, I got a femoral stress fracture, and that put me out, and it seemed like everything beyond that point just spiraled downhill. My fall of my senior year, I got mono, and then I had low iron, and it was just one thing after another, so I didn't have the best senior year, and I trained my first summer before college, and right before college started, I got sick again, and then I had low iron, and so I felt basically what Coach Helmer said was you're a year or two behind, and so when I got to college, everything was so much harder. The workouts were harder. The intensity was harder. And so it was just such a shock, but I wasn't in shape anyways. And I couldn't remember what it felt like to feel good about myself running or just feel fit or feel in shape. And that took me definitely a year and a half just to finally feel like I was in shape again. So the difference from when I first got here to now is incredible.
Well, we'll talk a little about that when we come back. Catherine Receiver, first team All Big Ten, representing Indiana U in the NCAA Cross Country Championships Saturday. And there's more stories to tell because she has had an outstanding fall. And, well, she's kind of taken us through the journey to date. And we'll continue along with Catherine. We have South football a little bit later. It's a Tuesday night. We're at Yogi's. And we'll be back after these timeouts. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. It's Tuesday night live from Yogi's Grill in the Sports Bar here at the corner of 10th and Indiana, talking NCAA cross country with redshirt sophomore Catherine Receiver out of Louisville, Kentucky, and representing the women after an outstanding fall campaign. And while we were in break, your journey from Assumption High School up to Indiana kind of took a little detour that was kind of interesting. I mean, we are the winners because of how you have developed today, but tell us a little something about you stopped off in Oxford, Ohio first at Miami of Ohio, huh?
Yes. I spent a semester at Miami of Ohio, and that before I decided to come here, and I'm really thankful that I am here now.
Well, and so is Coach and the rest of the staff. Hey, give us an idea when the season started. You're healthy now. You overcame. You talked about some of the problems that you had injury wise, sickness wise. You're fit as a fiddle now and running awfully well. How many miles do you run a week right now? Are you tapering down or?
I've definitely come down my mileage. I hit between 70 and 75 over the summer, which is the most I've ever run in my life. And now I'm hitting anywhere between 60, 65. I don't even know what I'll hit this week, maybe less than that.
I was going to ask, what's the regimen for coaching you and Jason and Matt? Of course, they run a little bit further with their run on Saturday. But how's he working with you this week to get you sharp and ready to go on Saturday?
Nothing too tough. Just make sure to recover. We came off our long run a little bit. We didn't do too much work today, so just very light work, but just preparing for Saturday.
Well, how many classes, how many hours have you been taking this semester?
I'm in 16.
You're at 16. So when you wake up in the morning before class, do you go out and run 5 miles or what do you do?
Yes. So not every girl on the team will do a morning run every single day, but I run 5 mornings. So Monday through Friday, I wake up around 6 to 6:30 because I have an 8 a.m. I'll go out and do a shakeout run, which is a 3-mile recovery run. And then, I get my breakfast, get ready for school, get to my 8 a.m. And then we have practice again at 3.
and continue along. No wonder she's a first team All Big Ten. Catherine Receiver joining us. Well, let's talk about the improvement you made. And you ran in the conference championships last year, and the total improvement you made, just outstanding. Where you finished runner up. Talk to me about the course layout, and did it surprise you? Were you just really focused and ready to go at the start of the Big Tens?
Well, I actually had heard some horror stories about the course, and, I kept thinking to myself, everyone's in the same position, so you just have to make the best of it, and we're used to running on a hilly course, so, there no other girl out there is going to have an advantage over us, so I just kept remaining positive, and when I actually got to the course, it wasn't as bad as I expected it to be. So that was definitely a confidence
booster. Was it a little bit more hilly than what you'd seen? I mean, we're Southern Indiana. We got hills.
It was pretty hilly, but the hills weren't as large as I expected them to be, and the footing was actually very nice. It was on a nice golf course, so that was good.
Yeah, we heard about that, and that was up at Minnesota, and you carried that momentum into the Great Lakes, and that was just this past weekend, and that in itself up there in Madison, Wisconsin, again, another testy little course. Had you seen that course before? Did you run Wisconsin or anything along the way before you went into the Great Lakes region?
Not this year, but last year I made the regional team barely and didn't have the best performance, so I wanted to go out there this year and, you know, do better. I ended up running like over 2 minutes faster. So
well it's been a great journey to date, and again, what are you expecting? I don't know, do you parlay building the mental along with your strategy here each day of the work week leading up to this meet? But let's talk about the mental first. How sharp will you have to be in this biggest events, the NCAA championships come Saturday?
Honestly, I can't say I'm exactly sure, since it's my first nationals appearance. I thought it was great that we were able to go to pre-nats, because, you know, that was such a big race, and we were able to, you know, feel what it was like to be in a big race and be with a lot of fast girls and good competition around us. So I thought that was a great race to help prepare. So if I were to guess, I think it would be something like the pre-nationals race that was hosted at Terre Haute.
Is that Laverne Gibson course? You mentioned pre-nationals. That was just a couple of weeks ago. They do a great job over there with courts maintenance. Saturday, we hear that we're going to have a massive cold front move in with winds. That will come into play. But is that a course, Catherine, that kind of, you know, suits your eye after having run on it?
Well, I am happy with the race I, you know, ran on this course earlier in the season. It's not the best course, but it's not the worst. I think there are a lot of mixed feelings. You know, it's a pretty middle of the road course. Mm. I like racing in the cold, so bring on the cold weather. We'll just have to see.
It's going to be cold, let me tell you. Does that change the strategy much? I mean, how much? You know, and we could have some wind gust. I mean, it could all come and blow over, and, you know, we're just blowing off about the weather. But it is drastically going to drop from 70 into the 40s. Is that a course that where wind can play a factor? I mean, in certain spots on the course?
Definitely. It's a course that's out in the open with not very many trees, and the last 400 meters is, you could be standing there spectating and you don't feel wind, and when you're running it feels like you're being blown over. So definitely, but you know, everyone will be in the same situation, and I believe that a great runner, you know, can be stuck in any race and just handle conditions well. So, you know, everyone's in the same boat.
Well, and we wish you the very best, obviously, in your first endeavor. Will you have problems getting to sleep Friday night? Will you go over there? Will you have another chance to go over there this week and run the course, or is that?
Yeah, I believe we're leaving Thursday, okay. And so we'll get a chance to run on the course Friday, which will be awesome. So we'll get to see the course, and then Saturdays we'll be ready.
I know that there's closeness, there's a bond between the men's and women's team, and it was kind of disgusting to see how the men's team lost that tiebreaker under that rather stringent rules formation that they have. But anyway, that said, how do you think Jason Christ and Matt Schwartzer will do with this? Are they geared up and ready to go for Saturday as well?
They are definitely ready. They seem very fit, just like all the other boys on the team who barely missed it. I think they have a chance to do something they've never done before.
Well, so do you. And how's school going? We hear you, well, last year you were all academic, all Big Ten, and in line for it again. How's school going? Obviously very well, huh?
It's going well. I'm just trying to make it through the semester and through these 8 a.m.s every morning. So next semester will be nice when I don't have an 8 a.m. So.
What's your major, Catherine?
Interior design.
Oh, so tell us about the future. So that's something you want to follow up, you know, taking care of the beauty, you know, the aesthetics of home furnishings and stuff like that?
Yes, I definitely want to work with homes. I've been offered a few internships over the summer, but I'm just taking it one step at a time.
Well, your next step will be the Laverne Gibson course on a Saturday, running in the NCAA championships, your very first. It won't be your last, and we're glad that you made the decisions that you've made, coming up from Assumption via Oxford to Bloomington, and you're happy, we're happy, coach is happy, and we wish you the very best. And
thank
Catherine,
you.
Thanks for joining us tonight. Catherine Receiver joining us in the NCAA Cross Country Championships coming up this Saturday at the Laverne Gibson course over in Terre Haute. The women's race 11 o'clock, and the men's race will go off at 12 noon. And like Catherine suggests, we certainly wish the very best out to Jason Christ and also to Matt Schwartzer as well. Those two, like Catherine, first team all-region, first team all Big Teners over on the men's side. We'll move from cross country to football as Tommy Richardson and Drake Smith will join us, along with a couple of assistant coaches from Bloomington South. Drew Fry due in along with Pat Cannon, and we'll have conversation Panther style. When we come back, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's.
So we had to turn left.
Drew Fry, the defensive line coach under Mo Moriarty, as we talk a little football. And we got a little bit of a huge game coming up, the biggest game of the year, the semi-state championship on the line for the third-ranked South Panthers. And joining us, a couple of the veterans that have been around the block, have been around Mo a number of years. Drew Fry, the defensive line coach, Pat Cannon, joining us, the inside linebackers coach. Both guys have served a number of years. Drew, we were talking about your boy Adam, and by the way, scout team player of the week out of the Castle game. But welcome to the show, guys, and well, this has been fun. And each week, here we sit, 13th week of the high school season, and just Drew, some thoughts and comments on how the defense has evolved this year, especially that interior front, the guys you coach.
Well, so we started out really with all new guys. Derek started, would have played a little bit maybe as a sophomore and was hurt most of last year, so he was new. Quentin Porter was an outside linebacker. We moved him down. Sam Lewis was a freshman last year. We moved him up. Josiah Crane. The only kid we had back with really good experience. So, we knew we had our work cut out for us, but we also knew we had great kids who worked hard and are coachable and they listen. And it's really been good. They're seeing it now, whereas early on they had to think a lot. What do I do when I see this block? Or how do I react to this movement? And now it's a little more natural. And, we've seen things over and over and over again. So they've really made a lot of strides. I'm really proud of them.
Well, and I say, too, and you mentioned about Derek Rodriguez-Gonzalez. Archie's only a junior. Quentin, of course, is a senior. Mm-hmm. Sam Lewis and Josiah on the other side. You've been rotating them in series. Uh-huh. And boy, those bookends, Porter's coming on strong.
Yes.
He's had a very steady season. But talk about the tenacity and the get-afterness that Gabe Johnson, the defensive coordinator, looks for to incorporate both you, Pat, and the rest of the staff defensively.
Well, so one of the things that we really talk about defensively is getting to the football. That's one of the things that we say, if we're going to be good and we're going to play our style of defense, we're going to get to the football and we're going to be aggressive and we're going to get everybody there. So that's one of the things that he harps on from day one to today, to tomorrow, to the next day, the next day. That's one of those kind of, we're not going to relinquish that thought process at all. We're all getting to the ball.
Drew Fry joining us, a defensive line coach for the South Panthers, Pat Cannon. Pat, you've had the great job over the course of these last 3 years, and we talk about guys like Sam Helm and Tommy Richardson inside, and it's just been a blessing, really, to have had the experience of coaching these two guys. But this Panther team, this program, the last 3 years, 33 wins and four losses, speaks volume. But talk about that linebacking core of those two young men. I don't care what class we're talking about. Those are the two best linebackers in the state.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Joe. First of all, thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure.
And I was in a completely different situation than Drew. I've had Tommy for 4 years. He came in about halfway through his freshman year and has been a starter. And Sam Helm came up his freshman year, was on scout team, and was giving our offense fits on scout team. It was crazy. I was kind of thinking, wow, I'm going to get this kid next year. So I've been really fortunate. I will say this about those guys. You know, they could have been really happy and satisfied where they were as sophomores and even as juniors, but both Tommy and Helm have worked extremely hard in the off season. And I would completely agree with you. I would like to find someone in the state that thinks they have two inside backers that are better than my two guys.
You know, both of them, and we'll ask Tommy here in a bit, and obviously we were down there doing the ball game, but the very first play of the game, I mean, he comes in. You wanted to take care of the run attack by that Taylor kid, and Tommy puts him down on the turf. Next series, then, of course, they have to punt it. Next series, Blake Newcomb playing the outside, comes in, fourth and two, sacks Dane Keller. Those two defensive plays, maybe not spectacular, but very efficient and timely, really set the tone the other night.
Totally agree. They set the tone. Our mantra on defense, one of the other things that we always say is we got to stop the run first. Even though we knew Castle wants to throw the ball, if we would have let them get their running game going, then that would have made the night a lot more difficult for us. But they pretty much in the second half were one-dimensional. They pretty much bailed on the run, and a lot of that had to do with our guys up front on the D-line and obviously our linebackers. I don't know how many rushing yards they ended up with, but I would say that they kind of learned pretty quick in the game that they were not going to be able to have a lot of success running the ball on us.
No, you'll be pleased to know they had way less than 100. Matter of fact, they only ran the ball 21 times, 65 yards.
Yeah.
65 total yards.
They threw it 43 or something?
Yeah. And, you know, guys, Pat Cannon joining us along with Drew Fry. And Drew and Pat both, this was a different team. This is a different team. Yeah, they're – records are similar to what it was. Unfortunately, last year at this time, the football season was over.
Right.
But that was a more mature and has been a more mature football club evolve here ever since the Brownsburg loss through these last 12 weeks. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Talk a little about what you're seeing in the transformation of a, well, just good old flat on-the-job experience.
Well, I think, you know, playing more games and as you get more experience, it just makes you better. And, you know, we kind of settle on a rotation now where we've got guys who play, you know, and we play probably 15 to 17 guys every game, you know, on defense every game. And those guys just keep getting better and better and better.
Yeah.
Because they keep getting more and more and more experience. You know, early in the season, we had a couple kids playing safety that are now playing corner. We had, you know, a couple kids that weren't playing now playing safety. You know, so we've been able to kind of evolve in that. You know, one of our safeties is now an outside linebacker, and we've kind of settled into this and where do all the pieces fit best, and that's really helped us out a lot.
And, you know, Pat, you look at and your linebacking corps is just so well put together on the outside. We mentioned Blake Newcomb. You know, Blake has just been outstanding. He's been a tone setter in so many games. We kind of take Tommy and Sam, you know, for granted sometimes.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, here's Donnell White over on the other side and the spectacular season he's having. Talk about what you're seeing there collectively of all the LBs.
Sure. Coach Roberts coaches the outside linebackers, does a great job with them. And a lot of times we work together in either group time or individual time. And as a collective group, you know, we like to run. That's our thing. A lot of teams, they see us, they pull up the stats on us, and they go, oh, those guys aren't very big.
Yeah.
You know, and they start looking at it. But then you turn the film on, and we're not getting blocked. We're making plays. We're getting to the ball. And a lot of that has to do with what we want to do on the defensive side of the ball, and that's just run and get to the ball. And, you know, the outside linebackers have, you know, Blake actually started with me as a sophomore at inside. And then last year when he became a junior, you know, once again, like with Drew, with Quentin Porter, we're putting a kid at a position who's never played. And you can see it, now he's got a full year, almost 2 years under his belt at outside linebacker. And same thing with Donnell White. Donnell White was a sophomore. You know, he was splitting time with another player last year. He was kind of in a rotation. And really those two guys, and with Trent Richardson, you know, we got another Richardson in there. Those three guys at outside linebacker have done an outstanding job for us. And I'll say this about our outside backers. They've got to do a lot of things. They've got to play the pass. They've got to play the run. They've got to know their blitzes. They've got to know where to line up. And, you know, one of the things that we really try to harp on our guys is that we make sure they're prepared and they don't make mental mistakes. And I can say all four of our linebackers are really good mentally. They're in the game. They're locked in and not making those key mistakes.
Well, both of you guys have been on championship teams. And the Panthers, should they win the Semi-State, it would be their fourth. And the last time was Rex Grossman's senior year, 1998. We both know that should have won it in 1997, fell short. But, you know, that's that's folklore now. That's that's history. What isn't history? It's a true fact. And, you know, I've always kept track of the Panther takeaway and giveaways, and it escalated big time the other night with those four interceptions. Drew, talk a little about that with, you know, Phil King and Quantrell Porter, Sam Helm, and Tyrell Williams, who was basically moved into the lineup. The unfortunate injury to Alec Graham, a torn ACL, a senior, and here you have a senior. But talk about the takeaways, and now you're a plus 14 all of a sudden.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that we emphasize in practice every day, and we do a pursuit drill at the end of practice on Tuesdays. You know, we just did it today where we guys create turnovers. They pursue the ball, and then they come back, and we throw the ball at the defensive backs for an interception. We roll the ball on the ground for the upfront guys so they can pick up a fumble, and just so they can get in that mentality. You know, we always want to get them in doing that. One of the things that Tommy and Sam always do, I'll let you, Pat, talk about what Tommy and Sam do when we do our blitz walkthrough and how they.
So we do a blitz walkthrough on Thursday, and the scout-o just kind of stands there, and they allow them to run through their gaps, and it's just basically a mental thing for us on defense. But as they go through, they always try to strip the ball out of the scout team quarterback, whoever's playing back there. But one thing I'll add about last Friday night, I think Coach Johnson really did a good job of mixing up bringing pressure, because there was obviously some of those interceptions were forced by our D-line or linebackers getting pressure on them. But then we played coverage. And you know, I would say, like on Tyrell's interception, that was, in my opinion, a more of a coverage interception. There wasn't a lot of pressure in his face. We were dropping guys. He thought he had a guy open across the middle, and then here comes Tyrell out of nowhere, you know, getting the post and running it back. So, I think a lot of the credit has to go, obviously, to our players, but also has to go to Gabe Johnson, our coordinator, doing a good job of mixing up the play calling.
And Quantrell Porter, that interception he made, and then the return of 37 yards. I mean, you know, Castle thought they were getting back into the ball game, and that was still a ball. Talk about that, Drew. I mean, you know, and you don't score six, but you get a field goal from Ari Bland.
Right, and instead of them getting seven, you know, so they're marching the ball, and they're coming down the field, and they're in, you know, they're within range. You know, they had a really good kicker, so they're in a place where they think they can get points, and then, you know, we take it away from them. So that was a big-time play.
Well, we're talking with two defensive coaches, the voice of Drew Fry and also Pat Cannon, the inside linebackers coach for the third-ranked South Panthers. Guys, before we take a break and talk then to Tommy Richardson and Drake Smith coming up here, I'm looking at a stat sheet, and as good as Christian Paycheck has been, Jamon Hogan has gotten by me. 36 rushing touchdowns. They have 74 rushing touchdowns. What are you seeing from this team that likes to run the ball?
Yeah, they're obviously it's a completely different mindset offensively from what we saw last week. You know, we played a team last week that threw the ball 43 times. Columbus East scores 42 points last week on Zionsville and throws the ball four times. So what they do, and they're very, I don't want to say simple, but that's, you know, they kind of line up, and this is what we're going to do, and they're going to keep doing it until you stop it. And to be very honest with you, Joe, not too many teams have stopped it this year on them. Their one loss, a lot of people may or may not know this, their quarterback went out early in the game. It was still a close game with Columbus North. And he really, even though the running back is the one that has the yards, the quarterback is what makes them go.
Well, and you mentioned, and that's Josh Major, and he's only a junior, and he missed two games. He missed the rest of that Columbus North game and the following game. Drew, from what I hear, what's the scouting report tell you? I'm hearing, you know, Major has rushed himself for 18 touchdowns. Yeah. he's a scrambler, isn't he? So
well, they design a lot of runs for him. I mean, he can get out, so they do a lot of play action pass and get that quarterback on the move in their run, in their pass game. So he has that option of kind of just taking off. But they do a lot of design quarterback runs. So it's almost like, I mean, it's a one-back set, but you have to treat it like a two-back set because of the way of how good their quarterback is in running the ball and how good their offensive line blocks for them. And, you know, and like Coach Cannon said, they do what they do. They don't make any bones about it. They're really, really good at it, and not very many people have stopped them, if anybody, this year.
Yeah. Well, they have taken the ball away 26 times, so they're a plus 15, and that's why they, along with South, are two of the in the final four here as we march through this 44th annual tournament. Guys, we want to talk to the players. We'll do that. And Drew and Pat, thanks so much for stopping in, giving us a little insight on what has been good. Haven't faced this team, you know, 25 years.
Right.
So, you know, new blood, new opponent, new challenge.
It's going to be a great atmosphere.
Oh. Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Their AD has talked to JR, our AD, and he's anticipating they're going to bring probably around 1,000 people to the game.
Well.
And, you know, we'll have a strong force of showing. So it's going to be a great atmosphere Friday night, and we're just got to be ready for it.
Coach Mo and Chalk Talk at 6:30. Dave Novak and John Callahan at 7 o'clock with the kick time. Drew, Pat, thanks. And we'll talk with Tommy Richardson, Drake Smith. When we come back, we'll take a one-minute break. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone, to a couple of the senior veterans on this Mo Moriarty coached Panther Football Club. All-state linebacker Tommy Richardson is now catching touchdown passes about every other game. And a guy that caught the first score against Columbus North, Drake Smith, from that tight end spot. And when things were getting a little wobbly as far as personnel was concerned up in the interior line, Drake, you had to play up there a couple of games ago. How was that experience,
yeah,
son?
That's right. It was real different because I've never been in that position before. I've always played a skilled position. I was a quarterback in middle school. Yep. I was a quarterback freshman year, and then I got changed to outside linebacker my sophomore year, and then now I'm a tight end. So playing on the line like that was a huge difference, but it was a lot of fun.
Well, Tommy, I know that there's been good, a lot more good than the bad, but you remember 2 years ago when that semi-state overtime loss, and then last year more bad, but good because you won 11 ball games. But talk about the maturity and how this ball club has just game to game since the Brownsburg game has just been so focused and dialed in.
Well, I think last year we came into this regionals, we were 11-0. We didn't know what losing was kind of like. So we might have came in there a little cocky or whatever. But this year, losing game one, we know what it's like to lose. So. Now we just kind of, as long as we prepare as well we can and practice the way we can, and we know we can win any game.
Well, I tell you what, you had a big touchdown catch, and, you know, you got five. But I remember a pivotal game because it was on grass, Terre Haute North, week 7. And there's the ball out on the turf. We were there broadcasting the game, and off you went down the sidelines. You've had a couple of those. But it's been the defensive starts, like the other night when you put Taylor on his rump. Talk about that and how important that's been to really set a tone like that.
Well, it's just great to have big plays like those, tackle for loss from the defense or turnovers or whatever. Just get our crowd all hyped up and our sideline jumping up and down. And then once we get a 3-and-out or a 2-series kind of drive, give it to our offense, and we know Gavin and Drake and Paycheck are going to take the ball into the end zone.
Yeah, and it's been a great parlay. I mean, you take it away, they go in and score, you get back and go back to sacking and tackles for loss. Tommy Richardson and Drake Smith joining us. Drake, Christian Paycheck. If I had enough superlatives, I'd throw him out, but I'm all out of them. You know, he's playing at a high level, isn't he? Talk about
that. Yeah, he really is. I mean, it is unbelievable. I mean, he's one of the most gifted offensive players I've seen. The way he runs with balance and power, and I mean, even his speed, for such a big guy, he's got tremendous speed. He may be one of the fastest players on our team. It's just absolutely amazing.
Got another gear. And all of a sudden, Tommy, you've become part of Gavin Yeske's arsenal, 2,400 yards and 28 six-pointers. And you like that H-back spot? I love it when you're out there because I know your 23 is going to get the ball, man.
That's right. Yeah. I've always been Gavin's center in Little League, so it's nice to have him give me the ball for once.
How cool has it been? And you heard Coach Pat Cannon talk a little about you know, the emergence of Sam Helm in his high school career. You've been next to him the last 2 years. How cool has it been as a pair of the best linebackers in the state, Tom?
Oh, it's amazing to be able to have as much confidence as we have. As we go over here, we hit our gap up, and he cuts it back. We know that whoever's next to us is going to be able to make the tackle and do it right.
What's so fun about defense? Why do you love it so much?
I just love hitting. I see someone in a different color. I love hitting them.
Well, and you've hit a few. And, you know, we were talking about putting Taylor on his rump the other night. I noticed you got a hit of the week. And Drake's got one. I want to talk about that a little bit if he recollects. But you got the hit of the week. You made so many the other night down at Castle. Which one was it?
I'd say it might have been on Sam Helms' pick. I came down and hit a lineman a few yards back, and that was a pretty big hit.
Yeah, and that started the interception carousel.
That's right.
Sam got it rolling. And, Drake, you also had a hit of the week. I lost my sheet. I can't remember. I think it was against maybe Terre Haute North.
It was against Bloomington North.
It was against Bloomington North.
Yeah, yeah. I got my pass out in the flats, and then I turned upfield and saw a North kid, and I basically just thought in my head, I said, well, you're not going to stop me from getting in the end zone. I'm going to make somebody else do it. So I ran as hard as I could, and he didn't stop me.
Well, it's always been principle. It's always been part of the mode of operandi defensively, guys. And we'll talk to you first of all, Tommy, stopping the run. This team on the stat – well, let me just put it to you this way. They fill out a stat sheet. What impresses you most about what you're seeing early week from the Olympians?
Well, definitely their offensive line. They have that center coming down to Bloomington
Kreider.
Next year for playing Indiana University. And they're all just big, mean, fast, strong guys that just want to put us on our backs. And that's going to be real, real difficult with our small defensive line and defensive backs, but I think we got it.
Small but quick.
Exactly.
Quickness.
And tough.
Lateral movement. I am. You know who I'm rooting for. They call me Joe South for a reason. You know, but those four linebackers and the three-man front just as well. Drake, what are you learning early week about Columbus East defense? They have they're winning on an average of 31 points, but they score 48. But they're stingy too. They only give up about 16. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean they look real mean. They look tough. They don't want you to score on them. They don't want you to get a yard on them. I mean they're out there to fight every play, every down, and we got to want it more this week. And I think we're going to be preparing for that all week, and I think our line is going to get it done up front.
You know, guys, I remember, you know, after you kind of set a motto, of course we all remember unfinished business, and that was 98. And you came out of that season last year and win the next one. That has been so true, hasn't it, Tommy, and how this team matured since that Brownsburg loss.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We've learned it was – I hate to say it was a good loss, but we learned so much from that, and it's helped us very, very well throughout the season.
Well, we wish you the very best, guys, and thanks for coming in away from a little practice time. I can't wait to, you know, see you play and continue. And I know, you know, your favorite place to eat is your grandma's house, and what would be better than to take care of Columbus East, have a big old Thanksgiving sit-down, and then go to Lucas Oil Stadium
That's
and play
right.
for a state championship.
That's the plan.
Huh?
That's the plan, Joe.
How about you, Drake? You casting any line? You like to fish, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. I caught my PR over the summer. Caught about a six-pounder. It was pretty fun. I was out with my cousin. She was like, whoa, that's really cool. And I said, yeah, it's heavy, too.
Cook up nice, did it?
Yeah, it was good.
All right, that's great. Blake Newcomb likes to fish, too, doesn't he?
Yeah, me and him have went catfishing late at night before. Yeah, well, we've had a lot of fun late nights.
We'll go throw a sinking hooker in some of these Columbus East defensive players. And Tommy, continue the best, Drake, and we'll look forward to having some good times yet this year with
That's
this
right.
football team.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Tommy Richardson, Drake Smith joining us. We'll be back to close things out. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Well, that'll about do it. We want to give our tips to the Yogi's Employee of the Week, Josh Clampett. Congratulations to Josh, and of course the big football game. Our thanks to Tommy Richardson, Drake Smith, and coaches Pat Cannon and Drew Fry, and 6:30 Chalk Talk, and Columbus East and Bloomington South. Need more be said in the zone. Dave and Glass, your phone calls at 6. UMass Lowell here on the big screen tomorrow, and Indiana basketball coming ahead as well. That's about the story. Indiana basketball from Fort Wayne next week, so no sports talk. We'll see you again end of the month with Fred Glass behind the scenes. You've been listening to Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 WGCL. Good night, everyone, from Yogi's.